By the way, like I told the church last week, and every Sunday is Easter Sunday, because every Sunday is a commemoration of the risen Christ. He rose on the first day of the week. Brother Mel, I don't know who David's got lined up to sing tonight, but I want you and Lonnie to sing tonight. I haven't heard you sing for a while. I want you guys to sing. I don't care if you come up and sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. Lonnie, you and Mel get something together. I want you to sing tonight. And whoever's booked to sing, you're still singing. I'm just adding to it. Amen? And so, already. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see each one of you. Good to have our guests. Boy, what a great crowd. Luke chapter 24. I want to thank Dan Sable for working on our buses. Danny's doing all he can to keep our buses going, but they're really giving us a problem. Did the one ever start, Danny? No. And we still got to get rotors for the other one, right? Thank you for all you're doing, Danny. He's putting brakes on them, taking those. I mean, if Danny wasn't here, I don't know how we'd keep those buses rolling, I'll tell you. And anyways, and thank God for Brother Freddie Belcher, who keeps on top of stuff for us. It takes people to work do these things, amen? And all you that work in the bus ministries, and God bless you. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 7. Now upon the first day of the week, and that's Sunday. Today's the first day of the week. Most people think Monday's because they go to work there, but Sunday's the first day of the week. Every Sunday's a hallelujah day, because that's the day our Savior came out of the grave, on the first day of the week. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away, just like Brother David just sang, from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, he was gone. Amen. And it came to pass, and by the way, it always does, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men, these were angels, stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, boy, I love this. I love this, Tom. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you here at the cemetery? You don't look for live people in cemetery. He's not here, but is risen. How many glad we got a risen Savior? I serve a risen Savior. I know he's in the world today. I don't care what Madeline Merrily has to say. Amen? He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Seeking ye the living among the dead, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. Boy, I'm glad he was crucified for all of us. And the third day, rise again. Death and the hell couldn't hold on to him. He conquered it all. And they remembered his words. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful Savior, Christ Jesus, that died for our sins, suffered, agonized, shed his blood for the forgiveness and remission of our sins. And then, Lord, just like he said he would, rose that third day. And Father, we're glad he's in heaven, right at the right hand of God today. And Lord, we're looking one day soon that he's going to return in the clouds. There'll be a trump of God sound, and Lord, one day we're going to see him face to face. Lord, we're excited about that. Come down and meet with all our hearts today. Lord, if there be any here that doesn't know you as Savior, may today be a day that they look to you and become a Christian. And Father, for the Christians here, may they be encouraged and blessed just to think all that you've done for them. We ask these things in God's wonderful name. Lord, bless us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The empty grave of our Savior Jesus Christ separates Christianity from all the religions. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of religions. But what separates Christianity from all different religions, all different cults, is that Christ's grave is empty. See, you can go to the grave of those other ones. They're still there. But our Savior, Lizzie, he's not there. He's risen. He's alive. Can anyone say amen? Amen. I'm glad he's alive today. You know, our Savior's grave is empty. The death in the grave could not hold our Savior. How many are glad for that? Say amen. All the evil powers of the world cannot hinder or halt his resurrection from the grave. Man, he said, I'm going to come up the third day, and he came up just like he said he would. By the way, just like he said he'd come up, and he did, he said he's coming back, and he will. And praise God, our Savior is, how many can say, praise God, he's, how many can say, amen, he's risen? How many can say, praise God, our Savior's alive? And look at verse 5. I love what the angels said. I love that statement by the angels. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Hello? Like the kids do. Hello? Duh. Why are you here? Your Savior's not dead. He's alive. Go seek him in the cities and towns where you can see people. You don't find anybody out here alive. They're all dead here. He's alive. You're seeking Christ in the wrong place. You know, I think a lot of times people seek Jesus in the wrong place. Amen? You can't find, you know, a lot of people seek him, and but what they do is they need to come to church and hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so they said, the cemetery is not where you go to see live people. You go there to view dead people. Hey, disciples, you don't have a dead Savior. You have a live, risen Savior. How many are glad that if you're saved, how many are glad you got a live Savior? Amen. See, I'm all excited about Easter last week. It's one time of the year that people get excited about Jesus. But our Savior is risen 365 days a year to us. But I'm going to take advantage of that day when the whole world looks at his resurrection. I'm glad it's a day of celebration, and I'm glad it's a day of recognition for him, because I like to share it with everybody. Amen? And today I want you just to bear with me. Preach is just nothing profound. I just want to have a good time, and I want to just praise his name. Amen? And I want to read you some scriptures today, and just exhort that he's alive. Just exhort that he's living. Just exhort that he's coming again. How many believe you got a live Savior? Say amen. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Acts 1:3. Just bear with me for a few scriptures, and then I'll preach to you a little bit. Acts 1:3, to whom also he showed himself alive. How many have got Acts 1:3? To whom also he showed himself, I circled that word, alive. Jesus showed himself alive. But see, what? Here, look up here. If our Savior's alive, we ought to be alive. Amen. If he was quickened and he quickened us, we ought to be quickened. And he showed himself alive. He alive after his passions by many infallible proofs. In other words, you could not dispute. You could not disprove his resurrection. Many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days. How many see that? After Jesus arose, Andrew, he walked on this earth for 40 some days. He walked on 40 days, showing himself to people. Then in Acts chapter 1, in verse 10, he sent it back up to heaven. Are you with me? How many are still with me? My message today, I heard this from a radio broadcaster on a sports channel. And I thought, my lands, what a statement. Here's a man talking about sports. And Christians ought to have this thought. He came in, and don't get excited, but he said, his name is Rizzo, he says, it's good to be alive! You know what? It is good to be alive. Hello? It's good that our Savior is alive. And because our Savior is alive, we're alive. Because he's living, I'm going to live forever. And because he arose, I have hope for tomorrow. And look at this. To whom he showed himself alive. Alive. He wasn't a figment of people's imagination. He said, here I am. Look what he did to Thomas. By the way, you think a few people saw him when he walked on earth for 40 days? This is after he arose from the grave, by the way. After he rose from the grave, he walked on the earth for 40 days, showing himself. Hey, want to be a believer? Look at one guy named Thomas in John chapter 20. Remember, after 8 days, Jesus appeared to the disciples. Thomas said, if I don't see him, I'm not going to believe. How many remember that story? Look at John chapter 20. Look at verse 19. The same day after evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, John 20, verse 19, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. Boy, they were excited. Now they saw the live Savior, amen? And when they saw the Lord, then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And by the way, he's sending them, and Brother Eddie, he's sending you and I and Lizzie and everybody else. We that have got a risen, live Savior, we need to be risen alive for our Savior. He sent those disciples, and 2,000 years later, he's still sending us who are disciples to go after him. Amen? Then said Jesus again, peace be unto you, as my Father had sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, for whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, you ever hear Doubting Tom? Was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and print of the nails and print of his fingers, the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas was from Missouri, the show me state. And then after, verse 26, after 8 days, God works in numbers. I love numerology. Eight is a type of new beginning or type of salvation. Eight people in the ark, new people. The ark represented Christ and Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives. Eight people, they had a new beginning. It's a type of salvation. They were saved from the flood within the ark, which was a type of Christ. So eight many times depicts salvation or a new beginning. Are you with me? Look at the next verse. Thomas said, after 8 days, Thomas with them, then came Jesus. I love that. The door's being shut. You can't lock Jesus out. I don't care where you go. Stood in the midst and said, peace be unto thee. Then he said unto Thomas, hey, Tom, reach into thy finger. Behold my hands, reach into thy, remember what he said, unless I could put my hand in it? Thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He was a believer. That guy from Missouri, he made him a believer, amen? And Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. See, Thomas was privileged to see him after resurrection. You and I, we just believe by faith. Amen? And but here's 8 days after he rose, and he's showing himself to Thomas. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, Thomas. Hey, Thomas, look at me, Thomas. It's good to be alive. Thomas, it's good to be alive. Can anyone say amen? Stay with me. I'll make sense of this in just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received wherein you stand, by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, unless you didn't really believe it. What do you need to believe to get to heaven? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul said, I received the same thing you did, how that Christ died for our sins. Remember at Calvary? He died for our sins, according to the scriptures, just like he said he would. And that he was buried, and then that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. It's always according to the Bible. Look up here. Don't ever believe anybody what they said, including me, unless they can show you a Bible. If they can't show you a Bible, don't believe them. It's always got to be according to the scriptures. And then he was seen, verse 5, of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. Then after that, he was seen of above 500. How many see that? 500. Mike, at one time, there was 500 people at one time saw Christ after he arose. Isn't that exciting? That's why they were, look up here. That's why they were willing to be martyred. That's why those early Christians were willing to go to and be crucified upside down, or be stoned, or put in prison, or be hung, or whatever how way they wanted to be killed. They were willing to do it because they literally saw him. I wonder how far we'd go for Christ. Hello? You know why they did though? But because they knew their Savior was alive. He was alive and real and risen. See, they had him deep within their hearts. We ought to have that same richness in our heart. See, those people, the Bible says that they saw those unlearned men, yet they took knowledge that they had been with Christ. Bobby, when people see us and they see our lives, they ought to take note that we've been with Christ. Amen? And notice verse 12 of that same chapter. This is a great chapter. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how many believe he rose? I'm in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? Because if he rose from the dead, if he has the resurrection, we have the resurrection through him. If he didn't raise, then we have no resurrection. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there's no resurrection, then that means he didn't rise. But he did raise. People saw it. Hundreds of people saw it. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching's in vain, Brother Mark. You and I shouldn't even preach. If he's not risen, what do we got to preach about? Man, turn the light off, deacon. We'll go home. There's nothing to be excited about. He's like all the rest of the religious people and their gods. They're still in the grave. No hope. No eternal life. Hello? How can a God give you something that can't give himself that? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we have found false witnesses of God. That means all these years I've been preaching for naught, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead not rise, dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? He's trying to make you think. Hey, Christ is risen. How can anyone say you're not going to rise? That would mean he didn't raise, but he did raise. Because he rose, you're going to raise. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain yet, and you're still in your sins too, Brother Carl. We'd still be in our sins. Then also which are fallen asleep, that means those that have died, in Christ are perished also. They perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. In other words, if all you got is hope for this life, Not afterwards. By the way, this life is so short. I'm glad we have an eternity to get excited about. Amen. It's amazing. People cling more about this life than they do about the eternal. If we have only have hope in Christ in in this life, we are all men most miserable. And we were talking in the Sunday school today about how we know we can show, we know for sure we're going to heaven. 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe. Christians should know they're going to heaven. You got to be born again, but once you're born again, you know, I'm telling you right now, you're going to heaven. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Don't want to go, but I'm glad I can't, because I mess up all the time. I've already made 4 mistakes today, and I'm having a good day. Look at verse 20. I love verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since man came death, by man came also the resurrection. You know what? The first man was called what? Adam. And he brought us death, because for wherefore is by one man sin in the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. The first Adam gave all men death. He passed down his sin gene. We all got his gene, Adam. But the last Adam, which is Christ, he's just the opposite. He doesn't give death. He died for us. He gives life. One gave death, one gave life. One gave bondage, one gave freedom. Amen? One gave sin, one gave forgiveness of sin. Amen? One gave condemnation, the other gave justification, Christ. Look at verse 22. It's a yabba-dabba-doo. For as in Adam, remember that first guy was married to Eve? And aren't you glad her name wasn't Steve? For as in Adam, all die. So in Christ shall all be made what? Alive. It's good to be alive. Amen? It's good to be alive. I'm glad my Savior's alive, because I'm telling you, it's good to be alive. Can anyone say amen? Listen to me. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a myth. It's not a makeup story. It's not false statements. It's not fraudulent statements. It's a historical and biblical truth. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, just like he said he would. Can anyone say hallelujah? Yeah. Amen. I made this. We are made alive. Look at verse 22 again. I love that verse. For as Adam all die, that's why people have to die. But Jesus didn't leave us there, did he? Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He said, man, you're alive. You're alive. Can I show you how much you're alive? Give me just 2 more minutes and give you a scripture, and I'll give you a few thoughts. By the way, notice, what are we made? Alive. Yes, what are we made? Alive. Tell me again, what are we made? Alive. What are we made? Alive. It's good to be alive. Amen. Now let me show you some yabba-dabba scriptures, Joe. Look at... you're in Corinthians, go up a couple books, go up to Ephesians. Gonna give you a little Romans teaching today. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Oh, this is good stuff, man. You wonder why I get excited when we sing these songs. And Christians, look up here. Get your salvation real in your life. It's real. Get excited about it. Most Christians go through life sad sack. Oh, I don't know what's the use of living. And by the way, I said those same words. And so have some of you. But you know what? We need to be happy about we're alive. We ought to get up every morning and say, hello, Lord. It's good to be alive. Help me to show the whole world today that I'm alive through you. Amen? That sportscaster don't know really what he's got going there, man. I might send him this tape. Man, it's good to be alive. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, who's he talking to? You. You hath he quickened, You that were lost and now you're saved. You that have been born again. You that have trusted Christ. Ma'am, last week, you trusted Christ, your Savior. It's talking to you and me too and everybody else, even Arlene. As ornery as she is, it's still talking to her. No, she's a precious one. David gave me $5 to tell her. And you hath he quickened who were what? What were we, Joe? We were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin, Brother Mark. Benny, until Christ came, we were dead in trespasses. But now he's quickened us. He's made us alive. It's good to be alive. Are you still with me? See, I'm not going to die and go to hell. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. Man, it's good to be alive. Amen? Can anyone say amen? Now, watch this. Look at verse 2. We're in times past. I'm still in Ephesians. Ye walked according to the course of this world. Boy, we did when we were lost. According to the prince power of the air, that's Satan, and the spirit of that worketh now in the children of disobedience. Hello? We were all there. When we were lost, we were walking in the power of Satan. Hello? Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. Remember our past life, Eddie? It was horrible, wasn't it? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and all and of the mind and of nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Now watch verse 4 through 6. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Stuff it in. It's good. But God. It's always but God. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at that. But God, who is rich in mercy, that's what we need, mercy. Amen. For his great love, oh, I'm glad for the love of God, amen. Oh, love of God, how great it is. For his great, wherein he loved us way before we loved him. The Bible says herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and gave his son to be propitiation for our sins. Look at verse 5. Even, he keeps reminding us, Brother Mark, even when we were dead in sins, hey, Christian, he's reminding us again, verse 1 and verse 5, you were dead. How many glad they're alive? Amen. It's good to be alive. Amen. Even when the dead in Christ, even when you were dead in sins, had quickened us together, he's with Christ. He's quickened us with Christ, Emmy. Now watch this. Oh, Brother Leo, you're going to shout on this one. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Hot dog. Ballpark hot dog. Mustard, relish and everything, ketchup, little onions. What is that saying to you? Emmy, that's saying to you and Brother Leo that I know you're sitting right now at 745 North Freedom Street. I know you are. But in God's eyes, Leo, when you and Emmy trusted Christ as Savior, do you know where God sees, Bruce, you know, I know you're celebrating anniversary, that's great, but do you know where God sees you and Miriam? For everyone that was dead, but now is alive, that we're quickened, even though we're here, God who reckons us, he who says, Although things are not as though they are, he says he already reckons us. He's from the south, reckon. He already reckons us in heaven. How many are with me yet? Phoebe, that's why I know you and your daughter can't never miss out on heaven. He's already got you up there. Well, preacher, what, you're talking crazy. Freddie's right here right now. Fred's saying, man, how can I be in two places at once? Well, you're here right now. But in God's mind, because your sins are past finding out, God has already stamped approval. And Kathy and Jim, he's already said, I already, even though you're not there yet, I already see you as you are. Are you with me? Mrs. Davis, you're one of the most godly ladies I've ever met. Great Christian lady. Bill, you've got a great mama. He already sees your mama in heaven. You and your mama are in heaven. Isn't that exciting? Amen. So, Jan, I'm not worried about losing my salvation. He's already got me there. Before I get there. You know why? Because I'm alive. See, I was dead in sin, but he's quickened me. He's quickened me in Christ. Are you with me? And because, watch this. The whole thing I'm teaching is going to come out right now. Because Christ is alive. Because Christ is resurrected. Because Christ is risen. That determines my position in eternity. And so because he's alive, what are we? Because he resurrected, what happens to us? And because he's risen, what's going to happen to us? And because he's in heaven, where are we going to be? You're right. Well, you're a smart class. See, Les just gave me this. We're all, down here, we're always trying to get around to it. But God's already got to it. Amen? Oh, it's so exciting. Davy Yost, the young Christian. Davy, when you see all these great truths of God in the coming days, you're going to go, yaha, wahoo, woohoo. You say, can I really believe that? You'd be wrong not to believe it because it's God's word. Not because I'm saying it. Look what that verse says here. In verse 6, and hath already done it, past tense, what's he done? You know when we raised up? When Christ raised up. See, when he rose up, we rose up with him. You say, I wasn't saved yet. I know, but God knew who was going to be saved. He knew you were going to be saved before you got saved. He knows who, by the way, all people can be saved. God, whosoever will may come. But God knows all who will. Before we were born, Brother Mark, he knew we were going to be saved. Hello? See, when Jesus was dying, he was not just dying for those people then. He was dying for all the people in the future, too. Oh, it's so exciting when you start thinking about this. That's why when you start, this is a truth that you bring out when you teach the doctrine of justification. Justification means God sees us just as though we've never sinned. When you see all these things and sanctification, how he sets us apart, we're set apart in Christ. And initially when we trust Christ, progressively as we grow in grace, one day it's going to be ultimate. But it's just so wonderful what God's doing. Sometimes we forget, look up here, Christians. Sometimes we forget how wonderful and what God has done for our life. And we take life granted. For nothing. And so I'm telling you today, it's good to say, it's good to be alive. Say it with me. It's good to be alive. Boy, I like that statement. Amen. Now stay with me. I'm going to put all this together. The question is this. By the way, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The question is this. Are we making the most out of the life that Christ has given to us? Are we making the most out of our life? Because it's good to be alive. Amen. I'm going to drill that to you. You're going to be home saying that this morning. You'll wake up tomorrow. It's good to be alive. I want you to wake up positive. Now, if Jesus is alive, and I'm alive through him, then maybe I need to be more appreciative of this life. Because sometimes I'm not. And sometimes you're not. Instead of being sad, I should be glad. Instead of being mad, I should be happy. Instead of hating, I should be loving. Instead of shunning others, I should be caring for others. By the way, when you get caught up for others, you forget about all your problems. They said Jesus hung on the cross, and they said he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he'd have saved himself, he couldn't have saved us. So, but when see, Jesus got caught up in saving others. You want to be like your Savior? Get caught up saving others. Not salvation, but doing for others, caring for others, sharing with others, helping others. Annie Sather's got one of the greatest gifts of giving notes. She sends letters with her letters are touching and moving, and she gets all these little stickers and little happy faces and dogs and about 1,000 different stickers. I don't know where she gets them all. And man, she, and whatever I preach on, she has something to go with it, man. So, and it's just an encouragement. I never got a letter from Annie Sather. You know, Mary used to do that, little Reinhardt, and then she got, then I think Annie's kind of took up the cross before Mary went on. And Annie's been doing it for several years, but Mary used to do a lot. And then Annie's came and she's really picked up the cross there and kept going where Mary couldn't. And boy, what a blessing, Annie. I want to tell you, your letters are a blessing. See, when you get caught up with others, you forget about your own problems. Hello? And instead of despising things, I ought to be praising God. Oh, God, you don't love me. You do. You know I want. No, we ought to be, oh, Lord, thank you for what I got. Amen. Paul said, no matter what I do, I'm content. Whatever state I'm in, I'm content. You know what? Can I say something? We're spoiled. I'm spoiled. I'm just telling you where it's at. The average Christian and the average preacher is spoiled. At least I know I am. Hello? Are anybody spoiled besides me? And the, you know, a lot of times we bicker at God, and he probably looks down and say, man, they're mad about that little small thing, and have they forgot about everything else I did for them? All that I've done for them, and they're mad about that? By the way, they'd be dead if it wasn't for me. I mean, don't they know it's good to be alive? Listen, sometimes we need a life. I've been going to, we have got a number one chiropractor in Ravenna. Well, he's in Rootstown, I guess. Dr. Roger Wilhelm. I got to make sure I don't call him Whitakers. Sometimes I say, because Brother Roger Whitakers, you know. But I go to Dr. Roger Wilhelm. He's very good. He's been helping Rosie. Now he's helping Brother David. And he gives me what you call an adjustment. Matter of fact, he's got a brand new office. And I talked to him Friday. And I scheduled him to come and speak 15 minutes at our ABL next month just to tell people about the health care and chiropractic care, how important it is for your life. Yeah, and he's a born-again Christian. You're talking about a good man. His mama's his nurse, and it's just great. It's just a great place. And anyways, but he gives me what they call an adjustment. Relax, preacher, relax. Just relax. Boy, because you stiffen up. If you stiff, you can't get those things back in place. But once you get the adjustment, it really helps your health. And see, a lot of times, not only do we need a physical adjustment, we need to let God do spiritual chiropractic care on us. We need a spiritual adjustment to help our attitudes. Because sometimes our attitudes are not in line with God's. And so when our spinal cord gets out of line, Dr. Wilhelm puts it back in. But when our spiritual spine gets out, Dr. Jesus puts it back in. After all, he's the great physician. Isn't this good stuff? Man, it's good to be alive, isn't it? Now stay with me. How many are still with me? How many think we need an attitude adjustment? Instead of not caring, I should be caring. Instead of not doing nothing, I should do all I can. Instead of taking this life in heaven for granted, I need to realize how precious a gift God's given to me. Because every day he gives to us is precious. And we should make the most out of every day that he gives to us. Because life, just like eternal life is a gift from God, our physical life's a gift from God. We should not take our eternal salvation for granted, and we shouldn't take the life that we have here for granted. Instead of being depressed, and I should be overwhelmed with joy and happiness. You know, one thing that instead of complaining, we ought to just start praising. You want to get out of depression? Start praising God. Get that book of Psalms. Read the last 10 chapters. Man, it's all praise. Praise, praise, praise. Psalms 150 says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Just start praising him. Hey, God, I want to praise you. I can see out of both my eyes. Hey, God, I still got both my legs. Hello? Hey, God, thank you for my children. They're not sick. Thank you. Hello? Hello? You just look around. There's a lot to praise him for. We just don't do it because we take everything for granted. Instead of being depressed, we should be overwhelmed. I even put the word delirious. We ought to be delirious with joy and praise. The other world, the lost world gets delirious over stuff. Why don't we get delirious over Jesus? Instead of letting days pass by, let's get caught up in each moment of the day and give God the glory. Let's wake up tomorrow morning and say, hello, Lord. Thank you for all you gave me. And Lord, just want to tell you something. It's good to be alive. And then go out and show people. You know, with that attitude, then when you go out when you're in the morning breakfast with your family or where you go to work, if they could see an attitude that you're glad that you're alive because of Christ, how would that reflect on people that meet us in our daily life? See, they ought to know, Joe, it's good to be alive. See, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, John 10:10. The trouble is most Christians don't depict it's a great life for Christ. But boy, Joe, if they could see, boy, they'd say, I want what Joe's got. I want what Andrew's got. I want what Coolidge has got. Man, you see how excited, you see how happy those people, man, even though they're going through those troubles, you see how happy they are? Wow. I want what they got. Amen? And I'm trying to wind it down here. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. We are the workmen created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're created to walk in Christ with good works. Listen, what is Jesus? He's alive. So what should we have a lively walk and a lively work for him? Let's come alive for Jesus. Let's go to work for Jesus. Listen, we have a living Savior. A Savior that's alive. A Savior that's living in us. He's in us. And the world outside is dead in sin. And they need that quickening. They need that life breathed into them that God breathed into us. Just like he breathed in life of Adam for physical life, then he quickened us for eternal life. Those lost people need that quickening by God. Now, and the world is dead in sin. They should see Christians who are happy and busy serving God. How many believe that? Now, I'm going to say this, we're almost done. Think with me. Boy, it's good to be alive, isn't it? Dead men can't read their Bible. But living men can. Were you alive or dead this week? Dead men can't witness and speak for Christ, but living people can. Were you alive or dead this week? Dead men can't praise God, but living ones can. Were you alive or dead this week in praising your Savior? Dead men can't sing, but living ones can. Did you lift up some songs to Christ this week? Or did you act like you were dead? But it's good to be alive. Dead men can't serve, but living men can. Now, the question, we're going to go home, but don't get excited. I got 10 of them down here. But I'm just going to read them. Because most of these guys know I can preach 4 hours on one word. The question is this, and this is what I want you to go home with today. Is your life vibrant and alive for Christ? It ought to be. Mine ought to be. Can you make that statement? It's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Say that. It's good to be alive. It's a great statement, isn't it? I love that statement. Here it is. I'm going to give you multiple questions to answer yourself. How would you and others describe your life? 1, I'm glad to be alive. 2, I'm bitter at life and need a real adjustment from God so I can become better. I have an up and down life for Christ, like that roller coaster I talked about last week in Sunday school. I'm alive for Christ and vibrant for Christ. I have a consistent life for Christ. My life is dead for Christ. No testimony. Being brought back to that new again. Tammy's got a song she sings. Bring back the new again. Where did the glow go? I think something like that. Dun, 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 dun. I wish you knew the words of that. You know that bring back the new again, Mark? And it says, where did the glow go? Some of us have lost our bright light for Christ. Bring back. Some of us need God to bring back the new again in our life. Amen? My life's either hot nor cold for Christ. I'm lukewarm. Jesus said in Revelation 3, lukewarm Christians, he wants to spew them out of their mouth. Preacher, they'd say I have a wasted life for Christ. Or maybe you're searching. Maybe you're searching for Christ. And years ago, I remember I was searching for Christ. 30-some years ago, I'd walk out of the bar at 2:30 at night. I remember looking up into the sky and say, God, I know you're up there. I know there's got to be more to life than this. I remember that. Then the Lord brought Rosie in my life, and she took me to hear the Word of God, and later on I got saved. But you might be here today. Maybe you're searching for the key to life. Can I tell you that the key to life is found in Jesus Christ? And that until you find Christ, you'll never find the true meaning of life until you find the life giver. And then, or maybe you could say, I have a life of sorrow. I'm living a life of sorrow and regret. Boy, you don't want to get down to the end of your life. You want to be like Paul. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Amen? I've kept the faith. Maybe you say, I have a life worth living. Maybe you'd like a life changing. Maybe you'd like to have your life changed. Well, Christ can do the life change for you. All you got to do is receive Christ into your heart today. Today I talked to you about a living, real Savior. And because he's alive, we, his children, ought to be alive. The world ought to see. Look up here, and I'm all done. How many say Jesus had a great spark of life on that resurrection day? The world ought to see a spark of life in us. That same life that was in Christ, that he puts within us, and when we trust him as Savior, the world should see Christ living through us. We ought to be excited about life. Life's challenging, yes. Life's got heartaches, yes. Life's got sorrows, yes. But we that are saved, we've got the victory. I think about that scripture on 1 John 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And here is the victory, even our faith. We ought to have victorious lives for Christ. In the midst of all this perverse, crooked world and all the heartache, hey, I'm going to tell you, does preacher ever cry? Yes, I do. Do I ever get discouraged? Yes, I do. Do I ever get lonely and down? Yes, I do. But the greatest way to get picked right back up is start thinking, how wonderful what Christ has done for our life. And I don't know how much more days we have of this life to go, because I believe Jesus is coming. But if some of us die before that, how many days do we have left? Let's use our lives to the best way we can, because it really is good to be alive. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up and you start to pray, I hope you can say this: Lord, thank you for giving me another day. Lord, you've been so good to me. I know I'm already sitting up there with you, and even though I'm down here talking to you. And Lord, I just want to tell you, it's sure good to be alive. And as I go out and use this day for you, Lord, with my husband and my wife and my children, those I come in contact, may people see that I'm excited about the life that you've given me. Because, Lord, it really is good to be alive in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we had in Scripture. Pray, dear Father, that you would challenge your Christians, Father, to be excited, to want to do more, to serve more, to love and to give and to just praise you. And, Lord, go forward in the name of Christ. I pray for those that are here that's never trusted Christ, that they will see that there's only one person that could give them eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know that Christ has quickened me from the dead, and I know I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be some today that say, Preacher, I'll tell you, I'm searching. I'm really searching for the answer to life. And I'd sure like to know the answer, like he told you. I am searching. Pray for me. Who'd say that? I'm searching. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Pastor, I'm searching. Would you pray for me? God bless you, sir. That took courage. I saw your hand. God bless you. Preacher, I'm searching. Anyone else? I saw one man raise his hand. Was there anybody else? Pray for me. Include me in that prayer. I'm searching. Let me say to all you folks that are underneath my voice today, when you come to Christ, your search is over. If you'll just say, Lord, just like Thomas, Lord, I believe you. Come into my heart and save my soul. You just do that and your search will be over. He'll take that void and emptiness out of your heart, and he'll put his Holy Spirit in there. And you'll know what it is to be alive in Christ. Before I pray, how many Christians would say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I've been discouraged, and I've not really been lively like I should for Christ. Lately, I've just been so depressed and down. And God spoke to my heart today, and I'm going to come alive for Jesus. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, yes. God, yes. God bless you. God bless you. I see that. Bless your heart. Yes, I see the hand back there. God bless you, because it sure is good to be alive in Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray for Christians today that maybe they just want to come to the altar and say, God, help me have that spiritual attitude correction that I need. And Lord, help me to get closer to you and Help me to become alive again. I once was vibrant and alive for you. Help me to get alive for you again. Help me be happy and joyful and excited about a living Savior, a risen Savior, a reigning Savior, a real Savior, a returning Savior. And Lord, I pray for all those that are searching today. Help them to look to Christ. May they see Jesus as their Savior. Oh God, Holy Spirit, draw their heart to Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse. What page are you on, Brother Mark?